I'm going to do something a little bit unconventional tonight, I suppose. But we use types, symbols, and illustrations all the time in church. And so tonight, really, I'm going to use an illustration. And it's the illustration of the candy cane. So I want you to take a look at this candy cane and kind of keep it in your hand, and you can look at it while I make a few comments about the candy cane. By the way, when I'm done, you can eat it. All right, take it home and eat it. And if Bill has enough and he wants to give you more, he can maybe get two if it's your lucky day or something. But anyway, we're going to make some comments about the candy cane and a little bit of, maybe some biblical thoughts that'll help you. I'm going to keep that one right there. I got one in my pocket, but I'm going to keep that one right there. Let me begin by reading the 23rd Psalm to you. The Bible says, Psalm 23 and verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, you'll notice two times in that he mentions the staff, but in verse 1 he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's who Jesus is. He is the shepherd, and believers are referred to, and someone will read a little bit later on in John chapter 10, as the sheep. Now, there are a lot of Christianized interpretations and what is the real meaning of the candy cane. Quite honestly, there isn't really any necessarily true meaning of the candy cane that's really set forth as dogmatic anywhere in history. But there is a gospel track that has a story of the candy cane in it. We have a movie home, a little movie, it's kind of an old one, with the story of the candy cane in it. And there are some interesting pictures and types within this candy cane. And the kind of like the drummer boy, now I think my interpretation of the person who wrote that song was accurate. They used the name Jesus in it. And now I don't know, though, that somebody actually went there that night and played drums. But I suppose if you were offered to go to baby Jesus the night that he was, the morning or whenever when he was born, and that's all you could do, you may have asked permission to do that. But there's no indication in scriptures anywhere that anybody did that. But there is a truth in the song that we give the Lord whatever it is that we have to give the Lord. And so it's an illustration, and the candy cane is an illustration. So while there may not be any necessarily history that's dogmatically true, they do have some great truths attached to them. And the most common story of the candy cane is the one of a man who in the 18th century was looking for a way to communicate the real story of Christmas to children. And back in those days, evidently the story has it that you couldn't pass out Bibles and you couldn't witness and you couldn't tell people about the Lord. And so the candy maker decided that he was going to come up with a way to present Christmas to the children. And so he was a candy maker, and this is what he came up with. Supposedly. Now, if you hold your candy cane this way, well, for you that way, it's the letter J. Now, what's the J stand for? That's an easy one. By the way, maybe you can get your kids to use this somewhere when they're witnessing to somebody and say, "Hey, let me tell you about this candy cane before I give you one." Not that they're going to want to give away their candy cane. We understand that. But the J was for Jesus. But if you use it like this, it's the what? The shepherd's hook, the shepherd's staff. And the J for Jesus in the shepherd's staff reminds us that Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep. And to this, and who I don't know who has these, but I hope you have your references ready to read, but somebody, and loud and clear, John chapter 10 and verse 11. Who's got that? Read it, please. Jesus, the Bible says, is the good shepherd. And what did the good shepherd do for us? He laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus died for us. And then who's got John 10, it must be your mom, 27 through 30? Who's got that verse? Nobody's got, oh, Bill. Amen. So here's how I picture that. Our shepherd, the Lord, he takes a sheep and he's got us in his hand, and then it's secure in the Father's hand. And you know what we are? We are safe and we are secure in the goodness of God and in the love of God or any other thing you want to add to that. I believe when a person is saved, genuinely born again by the Spirit of God, they are saved eternally. They have eternal security. No man, not even yourself, because some of the Wesleyans and people like that believe you can decide to be saved and you can decide to be unsaved. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and that would even include us. And then, of course, in Psalm 23, it said, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Now, here's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for the sheep. Those of you that have been saved, you are biblically considered sheep, and we know him, and we hear his voice, and we don't hear it audibly, but we follow him. He laid down his life because he loves us. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Amanda, do you have that one? Amen. Well, isn't that a blessing? That God would lead us, his sheep, and he would lead us wonderfully. It's a blessing. It is a blessing. You ought to dwell on this and meditate on this. It is a blessing to have Jesus as our shepherd. Now, out of this candy, you'll notice that the candy is hard. Who's got Psalm 31:3? Go ahead, Becca. Loud, please. The hard candy was to remind the children that Jesus is their rock. That rock was dependable and strong. And isn't that what Jesus is to us? He's our rock, and he is dependable, and he is strong. The Lord will never let you down. The Lord never lets anybody down. He is dependable. Now, you might know some dependable people, but I'm telling you, God is more dependable than them, and he is strong, and he's our rock. Who's got 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4? Amen. He's our rock on which we stand. Now the stripes were added. The stripes on this particular candy cane that Bill got us, you'll notice has a large red one, and then the white one's in there, and then it's got some small red ones. Now the white is for purity. And of course, that represents, first of all, the purity of Jesus Christ, the holiness and the purity of the Savior. Who's got 2 Corinthians 5:21? Whoever has it, read it. Nobody's got 2 Corinthians 5:21? Well, I'll turn to it and read it. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let me give you something here. Jesus is pure and perfect and holy. But when a person responds to the gospel favorably and they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know God never looks at us as a sinner anymore. God looks at us as a saint. And so because of his righteousness, we put on his righteousness, or the theological phrase is, there is imputed righteousness. It's not our righteousness, it's not our goodness, it's his righteousness. We are covered with the blood of Christ because he is perfectly pure and holy. And now we stand before God once we're saved as pure as well. Now, the other color on the big stripe is red. This is an easy one. What does the big red one stand for? The blood of the Lord. Who's got Ephesians 1 and verse 7? Dick? Praise God for his shed blood. I mean, it is the thing that washes away our sins. So Michaela has been bugging her mother and dad probably about getting baptized. She wants to get baptized. Now, I don't ever recommend you go to a child and say, you need to get baptized, you need to get baptized. But after a while, they figure it out, and then they start going to their parents and driving them nuts. Well, she came up to me this morning again. Now, she comes up to me about every day too now. But you know what she told me? I know it's Jesus' blood that washes away my sin, Poppy. They call me Poppy, as you heard Emmett say when we came in tonight. And she says, I know baptism doesn't wash away any sins. Now, she's 5. And she already knows that stuff. Baptism never washed away one sin of anybody ever. It is only, as he read, through the blood of Christ. And who's got 1 John 1, 7? Go ahead, Bill. What cleanses us from all sin? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse implies this. It just keeps on cleansing us. It just keeps on cleansing us. And when you're, some people, listen, you don't have to get saved and saved and saved and saved as saved. You get saved, born again once. Just like you were born physically once. Because the blood of Christ, his son, just keeps on cleansing us from all sin. It's still the blood. Who's got Colossians 1, verses 14 and 20? Amen. It's still the blood. You thank God. When you look at this candy cane and you see that large white stripe and you can think of, man, the purity of God, and I have imputed righteousness and imputed purity, but look at that big red one. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Now, if his blood is applied to our spirit, we are made pure. But then there's those three little, well, this one's got four. One, two, three, four. Four little red stripes in it. And there's, nobody has this verse, but there's a verse in Isaiah 53 that says this, by his stripes we are what? Healed. So the thin little stripes, and I don't know, Bill, if you picked this out on purpose. Bill brought the candy canes in, if you knew I was going to say that or not. But that's what that evidently was supposed to represent. Now, again, I don't know for sure or not, but it sure makes sense, and it sure fits, and you could use that to, you know what, it's like a tool, and you could use it. Now, the flavor of a candy cane, I've never had one any different, is always peppermint. Peppermint is like hyssop. Now, who's got Psalm 51:7? Deb, go ahead. The hyssop was used in the Old Testament for sacrifices and purification. And it reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus made, that for us it was pure and that it could wash away our ungodliness and our uncleanliness and our sin. So the candy maker, and I mentioned this once, is it being hard as a rock, but he made it hard to eat in one way. And often when we eat it, it breaks. Now, I don't know, when we were kids, we used to eat a sucker and a lollipop or whatever, and it was like a competition. Who can eat this candy cane or this sucker or this lollipop and never bite it? Anybody ever have any competitions like that, or was it just us? We made competitions out of everything, okay? If there was something we did, it was a competition, period. I still like it that way. So I hunt deer, and I'll keep track of who's killed more deer. And it's like, man, I got to get one more. At least I got to stay one up on these guys. You know, everything is a competition. And so we would eat that way. But often when we eat one, it breaks. And it reminds us of our Lord's broken body. 1 Corinthians 11:24. Did I give that to somebody? Who's got it? Go ahead, Eric. So now, when we eat this candy cane and we get to this where it's small enough to where we crunch on it, turn to Isaiah 53. We crunch on it. It reminds us of our Lord's broken body. Now, that might not be exactly everything that supposedly a candy maker had in mind when he made the candy cane, but in type, you can see Christ. How many of you decorate on your Christmas tree with candy canes? Oh, quite a few of you. Okay, put your hands down. And we do sometimes, but we didn't this year. When you go out and pick up, and I know there's some of the green stripe on them too, but when you pick up a candy cane, you ought to remember the Lord. And a lot of you have those on there. And your kids will probably be eating them pretty steady until they're gone. And you ought to remind them that this is what Jesus is. He's our shepherd. He's our rock upon which we stand. His blood was shed to wash away our sins, and by His stripes we are healed. And He is pure, and He is perfect, and He has never sinned. But His body was broken that paid our sin debt. Now, what I'd like to do next is I'd like you to stand. You've been sitting for just a little while, not too long. But I want to read this 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah together. I'll read a verse and you read a verse. We normally read like that at least once in the service. This is absolutely an amazing chapter in the Bible. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is, of course, speaking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And that's what the Lord has done for us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we looked at a simple illustration of a candy cane. But as we come to you tonight on what we call Christmas Eve, Father, we can't help but praise you and thank you for giving us your Son. And as we read this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we cannot help but be humbled by what he would do for us. Smitten, beard plucked out, face so marred you wouldn't even recognize him as a man. Hung on a cross, gave himself a sacrifice. And yet Isaiah recorded for us that satisfied the just demands of God. And all we can say is thank you and praise you, love you, and adore you. And as the choir sang, oh, come, let us adore him. Lord, that's all we can do is adore you. And I pray as we meditate and as we think on the things that were mentioned this evening, and as we think about Christmas and the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus into this world, and people think about the little baby, but the baby didn't stay a baby in a manger. He grew up to be a man, and a man who was crucified on Calvary's cross. And my Father, we are so grateful and we are so thankful for what you have given to us. And for those of us that know you as our personal Lord and Savior, you have given us the gift of eternal life. If we don't get one gift tomorrow, if we never get another Christmas gift the rest of our life, we've got the greatest gift that anybody could ever give us, the gift of everlasting life. And so we praise you and we thank you, and we know the true meaning of Christmas. And I enjoy the lights and the gifts just like everybody else. But being a Christian, it goes a little deeper than that. And Lord, we are so thankful and so appreciative. So bless our families tomorrow as people gather together, the loved ones and the friends. And Lord, but as we meditate throughout the day, may it be a day that we remember Christ above all else. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. God bless you. Have a good evening. Have a Merry Christmas. And enjoy your candy cane. And think about Christ when you open that candy cane up, all right? Have a good night, you guys.